JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Happy Friday, Mike.
What do you read into yesterday's Australian jobs numbers? See, they went up, but that's not the whole story, is it?
No, it's not. So we've sort of been banging on about inflation this week, given we had our CPI update, and you know now we're speculating about the length of time interest rates stay where they are and potential economic deterioration we're going to see. Well, the next shoe to drop, or the next, I think, big focus is the labour market, because we haven't really seen the damage in the labour market. And yesterday we got a read on the Australian labour market, which comes into play because it's an option for Kiwis if the labour market here starts to look weaker. So locally we've got all these buzzwords of restructuring, layoffs, cutbacks, etc. Well, employment numbers across the Tasman have fallen, and this is contrary to expectations of a small rise. So they collectively lost 6,600 jobs in March, and the consensus expectation was for a lift in 10,000 jobs. But, you know, as ever, the background is important here, because their February number was an absolute belter. I mean, they actually just knocked the ball out of the park with jobs in February. The Aussies added 118,000 jobs in February, which was unexpected. So not unusual that you'd see a little, you know, you'd see a little bit of a correction in March. The unemployment rate, 3.8%. So small lift from 3.7%. But I would say, and I think you'd agree with me, at 3.7, 3.8%, it's still looking perky, isn't it? It's still looking quite perky. So hours worked grew by 0.9%. Look, the Reserve Bank of Australia was expecting the labour market to cool, and it's not cooling at the rate that they had forecast, which seems to be a common theme all around the world at the moment. Full-time employment increased by 28,000. That was offset by a fall in part-time numbers. So you're still seeing plenty of month-to-month volatility. I think the key takeaway here, Mike, is that the labour market across the Tasman at the moment still looks pretty tight. Really hard to sort of see anything in this number that would persuade the Reserve Bank of Australia to accelerate their moves to lower the cash rate. Remember, they're already at 4.35%. Common wisdom is now that the cash rate there doesn't move until later in the year, or possibly early 2025. Now, we get our numbers, Mike, for the first quarter at the beginning of May. So we've still got a couple of weeks before that.
Okay, so as Transpower yesterday gave yet another warning about how we don't have enough power in this country on a cold morning come winter, how are we going to run AI?
This is fascinating. You talked about this early in the week. Yeah, you talked about this issue about the Google searches, you know, and it's sort of developing story. Well, that story about the amount of power needed to do an AI search versus a simple old school Google search is a symptom of a much larger problem, because the whole AI revolution is potentially going to create an energy problem. And I happened upon an article in Financial Times yesterday. This piqued my curiosity, Mike, and it's good to be curious, because there is a suggestion now, a strong suggestion, that energy supply is already a choke point, or is becoming a choke point, that could threaten the development and or growth of AI. Because you need these data centres, these great big data centres, which are putting pressure on electricity grids. Now, we've got a local company, Infratil. They've invested in data centres. It's going very well for them. Look, Elon Musk has commented on this. So if Elon's talking about it, it must be true. But Amazon chief Andy Jassy, he's also talked about it as well. He says there's not enough energy to run new generative AI services. So now there's sort of a global search going on for the best new sites for data centers where you can get power, where the grids aren't overwhelmed. But right now, Mike, the thing that really interests me about this is happening simultaneously with a move globally to decarbonize energy delivery systems. So NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, he's estimated that you need at least $1 trillion to be spent on data centers if you want to support generative AI. US data center electricity consumption, that's set to grow materially. So the thing is, it strikes me that we're going to have to make a choice.
Yep.
Do we want generative AI? Do we want ChatGPT? Or do we want clean green energy? Because it looks like we're probably not going to have both at the same time.
Oh, the irony, eh? What are the numbers?
Oh, the irony. There you go. So the Dow Jones is up 12 points as we look at it, 37,763. The S&P 500 is down about 0.25%, continuing a bit of a theme for this week. It's currently at 5,009, and the NASDAQ is down 0.35%. 15,628. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained 0.37%, 7,877. The Nikkei was up 0.31%, 38,079. Small rise in the Shanghai Composite, 3 points, 3,074. The Australians gained 0.48% yesterday. The ASX 200 closing at 7,642. The NZX 50, 11,836. We lost 0.33%. Kiwi dollar just hanging around at 59 cents against the US dollar, 0.9190 against the Aussie, 0.5542 against the euro, 0.4742 pounds. Japanese yen 91.25. Gold is trading at $2,385. Brent crude closing the week $87.25. And Mike, you know, I was in Christchurch this week. I want to say a big shout out to all the people down there because you have so many listeners.
Yeah.
Very strong support, and it was wonderful.
Don't say it like it's a surprise, but
I was surprised. I was surprised. I mean, they knew who I was.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's good. No, Christchurch. It's a hot market, as they say. You have a good day.
It's a hot market, and they were all very friendly and wonderful. Thank
good
you.
Good, I'm glad. Pleased you had a good time. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz. Oh, I went to Christchurch, and you've got an audience there. Who would know? It's actually applicable up and down the country.